I'm a confirmed and a committed socialist. I'm confirmed and committed to Jim Jones as well. I have been for years, and I always will be. However, years ago, when I joined this group, I was a pacifist. I really believed that we could effect meaningful social change using democratic processes. I no longer believe that's true. Now, I think the only way, in the words of Mao, to change society is through the barrel of a gun. And I'm committed to that principle as well. It's only Jim's guidance that has stopped me from acting out in this way, because I see no other use or meaning for my life. In the past, I've done a number of things for the socialist cause that are not acceptable to the society and that could not be construed as any way as being legal. But these are not considerations of mine. The only consideration I have is the advancement of the socialist cause.
My name is Jean Forrester Brown. I believe in Jim Jones. I believe in socialism, but I do not believe that it is any possible any longer in this country to effect change and to bring about socialism without violent revolt. And I am pledged by everything that I hold dear that I will give my life in a violent overthrow of this government. And if it comes to it, I will stick a grenade or a bomb in my body and go to the Senate or the Congress of this country and blow myself and this government up. I am committed to this socialist revolution in a violent manner against the better judgment of my pastor, who has cautioned me against it. But I can do no other.
This is June Krim. For years I have been a socialist. I believe in socialism as the only way to effect a change in this country is to go about it through violent means. We have reached a point where pacifism does not work. If I have the chance, and I will take it at any time I can, I will do anything I can to blow up any part of this government. I will take part or conspire in anything I can to destroy this government. I will assassinate the President Carter. I will do what I can to destroy the Senate, any part of this government that continues this terrible course of events that we see now in this country. The only thing that has kept me from going ahead and doing this is my pastor, Jim Jones. I thank him for keeping my temper under control, and one of these days, if I didn't have him, I would let loose and do what I have had in my mind for years.
Okay, this is Bonnie Beck, and I think that it's about time we face up to the reality that I've sat here for years and I've watched Jim talk about being a pacifist and turning the other cheek and trying to educate people and show kindness, and all it's gotten them is sick. And I think it's about time that I get on with what I know has to be done. I mean, in a way, Custer had the right idea. You kill them to save them. And my choice at this point is to get rid of the motherfuckers. They're doing nothing but causing people to die, they're causing them to starve, they're causing them to be sick, and I think the best thing right now is just to get rid of their ass. I see no other alternative. Everything that he's spoken about is fine and good, but nothing happens. All good people happens to good people is they get sicker, they get poorer, and the motherfuckers get rewarded. So fuck them all. I'm ready to off them, and I don't care what anybody says. They've had it in my book.
This is This is Harriet Trott. And I've done a lot of thinking in the past few weeks, and I just thought I should make a few things clear. Number one, I've been a member of People's Temple for 7 years, and I have seen Jim Jones give his life for the ideals of peaceful change within the system to bring about a more just society. I fully have supported everything he has ever done. I believe in him. I believe in his sincerity. And I stand committed to what he believes in, his ideals, and his actions. I have no disagreement with him whatsoever. However, I know that my commitment has always been a more militant one, in the sense that he's always had to convince me not to participate in violent activities or to commit really antisocial acts. And I've been reluctantly convinced because I could see the pragmatism of his point of view. However, what is sincere for him, what is a sincere belief in pacifism for him, has always been play-acting for me, because I am basically a very violent person, and a person who believes in the disruption of this society, in the overthrow of this government by violent means, in the reinstitution of a completely different economic system, and I believe in killing representatives of this government and of the establishment, the law enforcement. I will do so. And the point of time has come in my life where I can no longer maintain myself in a pacifistic organization such as People's Temple under the guidance of a person like Jim Jones, who believes in nonviolent change. And I have decided that I will, in the future, work out my political beliefs, which are, for me, communist, although Reverend Jones is not a communist. And I will do so. I will take my communist ideology into the streets with violent activity and destroy, kill, maim, or blow up anything and everything that I feel would be a valid way of protesting the system, which includes law enforcement, PG&E, you know, power stations, things like that, which I have long planned on doing and have plans to do, and have only been thwarted in doing this and prevented from doing this but by Jim Jones's teachings.
Hello, my name is Richard D. Trott. All I want to say is that I've been a member of People's Temple for many years, and Jim Jones is a very compassionate man, but even though he's this kind of person, and he is very committed to human ideals, I feel he's going about it in entirely the wrong way. There's things that are not moving fast enough. We've got to get some guns. I believe it's true that revolution comes out of the barrel of a gun. I need motherfucking people who've been ripping off poor people, I've been fucking over the world. I got myself together a bunch of people, and we're going to do something about it. We're not going to sit around here and talk theory and bullshit about this and that. We're going to go out and get ourselves some of these bigwigs. I've seen hotels. I know it's easy to get in these hotels and these convention rooms. Get some guns, get some bombs. We can get this place blowed up. We can get these places all blowed up. We can get a lot of things done. We better get started on it. And I'm planning to take action very soon. Won't know where, but I cannot stay any longer pacifist, any longer somebody who's nonviolent. This is just completely ridiculous. It's not doing anybody any good. It's the kind of thing that, it's just, we're just spinning our wheels. We got to get something done, so I think we're going to have to kill some of these people, like right from the president on down. I mean, the senators and congressmen, and get some of these corporation heads and boards of directors right in there at the very top level. Create havoc, terrorism. And I think with a bunch of people we get together, we can get some people together. I got some contacts with the underground movements of terrorists and the NWLF. I think the terrorists, I think they're right on, so we're going to get it together right away.
what type of a letter she wanted written. I'm not up on these things.
Okay.
I really don't know.
Well, it's just a question of depositing.
Redeposit what funds she took from my aunt.
Well, if it's just a question of that, then I just drop over to the bank and deposit the money.
Uh-huh.
No, certainly.
You want to do that. You don't want to, you just want me to tell you what I think are legitimate.
Yeah.
I think none of it's legitimate.
Okay.
I see a little old lady who was to take us for a ride. I want to get this over with fast, because the more I see my aunt, the more bitter I become. And she's not even, I haven't even told her this whole thing, you know, of how much it is. But anyhow, I'll resist this down to you as long as you're on the phone. Agnes Jones made a check for $250.
I have a copy of the list. I don't have it in front of me, but I have it. I
think. Oh, well, don't you want me to tell you what I think is this, you just said you the list and tell you what you should pay?
Yeah, right.
All right. I also believe that those two checks you made for people's temples that my aunt did not make, she made all these checks.
Mm-hmm.
She made a check for $200 for clothes, but she bought none. She made a check for people's temple for another $25. She made a check for Belmont Hotel for food. And she was, my aunt was in the hospital at this time.
Your aunt was in the hospital all of the time?
My aunt was in the hospital from January the 9th to January the 25th. But in 2 days, she certainly did not eat $31 worth of food.
I was arguing
that. No, I'm not going to argue any of these things. I don't know what Miss Jones wants. But she made a check for $250, which she wrote for private duty nursing. I've stepped all over. I've got all of that. I'm not asking for anything that isn't an old lady.
No, I'm really not questioning it. I was just asking you what, you know.
Yeah, that's why I say, you say, what do I think is legitimate?
You say none of it is. Okay, well, then you needn't read it off, because I understand how you feel.
I feel very angry about it, but
I think it's reasonable. Mrs. Jones is a nice woman, but I also
want to find out about this Clarence Brown. These are two things I want to find out.
Well, I know this, that Clarence was contacted by Agnes to go over there and do some practical nursing, which he says he did, because I called him.
He says he did.
He says the time was charged and paid at $4.35 an hour, which is the going rate in San Francisco. That's what he told me. I haven't verified whether or not, in fact, that is the going rate, but I'm just repeating to you what he said to me.
Uh-huh. He was not sent by the church to sit with him.
No.
The church doesn't do anything.
The church had nothing to do with this at all. The only thing that happened, as far as the church is concerned, that a social worker called up the church and said she wants to do this connected with the church, and somebody at the church asked Agnes if Agnes would go over and visit her at the hospital. And that was the only contact the church had with the...
Yeah,
with
Agnes was just to visit her.
Right, and it had nothing to do with the church at all. Nobody knew anything about it until, I don't know when, because I wasn't dealing with it at all, but and then when my son got a hold of me, my aunt, he said she was, how you want to deal with Clarence, I don't know. I think that my impression is that he thought that he was, doing practical nursing services for money, and that was the way
he did. That was his idea. Over $50 on February 1st, you also agreed to that, but you don't.
I don't have any argument with you about anything. I just wondered what your value was, and then on the thing. I thought it ought to be guided by that, but I thought that you were going to be popular.
Fortunately, I was called in on the last minute, or the whole works would have gone.
Well, I'm glad.
Well, anyhow, I want to get this through and clear here. The more that somebody calls me, the angry I get, because every time I visit her in that home, she is so disoriented from being put into one home, pulled out of... You know what? Could I tell you something? You're as a stranger. I could think that an old lady with a very bad heart, with the condition she's in, could be put into one home, taken out, put back into another convalescent home, taken out, then get these checks returned from both convalescent homes, have this old lady sign these checks, and I have to ask for the return of these checks, which amounted to $1,500. Here's another thing. I asked for those. I was told to get those checks back, and I asked Agnes, I said, I would like those checks. She had already had them endorsed, boom, like that. So...
You mean endorsed from...
My aunt, who endorsed them, and they were returned from these
they
two
just had a blank. They had a blank endorsement, in other words.
Yes. Yeah. C-Day.
Mm-hmm.
And got refunds from cheap, said she was her niece and daughter. But anyhow, she got these back.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to. Just, if you say, let's get this straightened, and then I
That's all I want to do, you know. I don't have any, you know, Marshall just called me up with it. They give this lady an argument. She should have said, look out the mechanics.
No, you see, I've been hearing from my aunt for the past few years how good this church is. My aunt has contributed generously, incidentally.
I understand that's true.
$150 for playing, $200, Reverend Jones, $200. This is good to me. I think she's entitled to it. You know, could I tell you another thing? I called last year, my aunt was ill. She went to Presbyterian Hospital, and she was there 3 weeks. And when we came home, I took care of her. This whole thing started because of this one incident. My aunt had made a check for $200 to Reverend Jones for her commitment. So I was taking care of her, and she said, Marie, would you mail it? I said, fine, Aunt Katie, I'll mail it. I put it in the mail for her. We sent it to Red Valley?
Red
Valley. And I tried to get her in that convalescent home at that time. They told me it was full up, but they were building a place in San Francisco. I talked to Mr. Cordell, I've got two or three names, that if she would wait, they could get her in there. So my aunt said, okay, she would wait. Well, in the meantime, this $200 check came back, endorsed, you know, by Reverend Jones, but the bank forgot to take it off her account. So she said, oh, he did not get that check. She was very upset about it. I said, Aunt Katie, it's endorsed, it went through the bank. The bank made a mistake and did not deduct it. So, okay, I went to the bank. I had to call her, sick as she was, and I said, this check went through, Aunt Katie. All the girl wants to know is the date that you made it. They're going to check. They have to set the things are all downtown. You know, all the things are downtown in their main vault or whatever. So I called her back. In the meantime, she said to me, oh, forget it, Marie. She said, there's a young man from the church here, and he tells me to forget it, that they did not take that, you know. So I said, Auntie Katie, are you going to listen to me, or are you going to listen to some young man that you don't know from the church? And she got angry at me, and that is why when she was at the hospital this time, they did not call me, you see. She was angry at me for this very thing. All started because of this. Never heard of this church in my life before.
Well, it's all very confusing, you know. We're a very, very large church.
And you're a wonderful church from what I understand.
Yes, well, we do everything we can, and we work very hard at it, you know. And like everybody else, we have failings, and of course there are a lot of people that we take care of, and people in the church and participate with the church that are here because they need it, you know.
Well, I thought she needed it, but I don't think they took care of her.
Pardon me?
I don't think they took care of her. I mean, when you need somebody to come in the room, they advertised in the paper, this church, you know, how they had this deal with... They called on the old people in the tenements and everything to sit with them to shop, you know. I didn't see it.
Who was that?
My aunt. I didn't see it this time.
Mm-hmm.
If Clarence Jones can charge $147 for sitting with her for 2 days, that's pretty steep, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, I don't know. As I say, I'm just telling you the way it was presented to him, and but you deal with that, of course, the way you want to.
Yeah, I will.
We feel very badly about this situation. We don't feel that we're responsible for it.
No,
exactly.
I do.
But you know what I'm trying to say.
We
feel badly about it, and we'll accept whatever valuation you make, because we do feel very badly about it.
Yeah, well, you think he should be paid.
Well, I tell you, I think all I'm saying is that I think from his perspective,
uh-huh.
I think from his perspective, somebody said to him, I have some part-time, short-term employment for you.
Oh, they did.
You know, I think that's what Agnes said. I need somebody to take care of, and it's a standard rate job.
Well, I wouldn't take Agnes's word for anything. She's a compulsive liar.
Yeah.
But anyhow...
well, we're learning, you know.
I don't know what I'm going to do. She should never handle any old people again, either.
That's been established.
Yeah. Okay, look, we'll take that off, then. That's $147.
Okay.
And then... At the food, I don't know. She didn't eat $35 worth of food. She didn't eat anything.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll call you Monday, and you sit down, and you figure out exactly what you want to do, and we'll figure out the mechanics of how to get it done.
I don't know. You'll find out from Mrs. Jones just what she wants my aunt to sign. you know, you write that up. I don't know what it is. It's a form of release of some sort, right?
Oh, okay, yeah,
but
right.
It's stating that the funds were paid. Mr.
Right.
Secondo received the funds, you know, whatever. You can, you worded the...
Well, I'll sit down and we'll write it together when I get there.
Okay, would you do that? And then you can call me, and if you want, you could send it to me, and I will have her sign it and witness it by the administrator of the, hospital.
I'll tell you, we'll just write it out when I'm over there. I'll drop in Monday or Tuesday, and we'll just write it out together, and then I'll just leave it with you.
Okay.
Because I'm not worried about your obtaining and getting a sign.
I'm sure you will.
Oh, fine. Okay.
Okay.
I'll go through this again and then say,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay, good deal.
All right.
I'll see you then.
All right.
Okay, thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Somebody for 6 years, you ought to find something.
I was just thinking, what would possess a man to, you know, to come up with things like that and to sneak around and do something like that?
I am not a psychologist. I really don't know. I've heard from some of the psychology-oriented people in our church that people are threatened by size, they're threatened by what they think is success. If they only knew how difficult it was for leaders like yourself and Dennis and myself, or Cecil or Yvonne, they envy that. And I've heard also that sexual things can possess people, almost obsess people. But not being able to relate to it, I don't know how. Maybe you as a professor know more. I don't know. I really don't know.
I was looking at him while he was talking, you know, and what I was amazed at, he had never met me, he had never met Dennis or myself.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked in and he was extremely nervous, looking around, you know, and
wonder why he would even dream to come against one American native to another. He really is a presumptuous racist bastard. It's too much.
But what got me, he was so nervous when he walked in.
Yeah.
And he sat by the window and then start talking, you know, and I introduced him to myself, and then I started talking, very nervous. Mm-hmm. And he reached a certain point, and he said, I don't think I better go any further. He said, I better not go any further. And I said, you know, if that's the way you feel, I said, well, don't go any further.
That's right.
And so he waited a few minutes, and he said, oh, no, well, I'll call this for you. I will. And he started then, you know, and so...
By that voice. Yeah. Does he talk like that? Is that the way his voice sounds?
Yeah.
The voice almost sounds familiar.
He kept going, and finally, the more he talked, the bolder he got, and he lost all of his nervousness.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, the transformation within a period of 3 to 4 or 5 minutes was just unbelievable. And he just,
together,
you know, he completely lost his nervousness. Then he wanted to introduce him into a or the treasury agent, and he just.
I wonder if any treasure agent would be as idiotic to believe, I don't know, unless they want to get you, because they'll believe anything if they want to get you, It's pretty obvious that I imagine most of us in the third world they're not happy with, but I thought Treasury agents only investigated, matters of... of course, he said I had firearms, didn't he?
He said what?
Did he say I had firearms or something?
Yeah, he told Dennis I wasn't here at the time. He said I walked in and said about firearms, but I asked him.
And I think they investigate... I would have thought any investigation begins with Internal Revenue if they've got any questions. And God, we've been most careful to pay more than our share of taxes. You feel guilty about paying your taxes, but we do pay them religiously because we know that's always a thing, like they've done with Huey. When Huey left the country, they tacked him with that kind of thing, and they tacked him with murder. It's a pretty sad situation. I'm seeing a number of progressive people who are getting a lot of bad treatment, and it has to be organized because there's so many letters and so many contacts and so many people calling up and telling. I don't know anyone else in person. Seems like, yes, there was one in person that told someone against something against Cecil. They came to someone in person. But normally they write or they call. This character... of course, I checked him out with our denomination because someplace someone told me he had been in our denomination. No, he was in our denomination. The bishop remembered such a name. However, he remembered him as a druggist who had fallen out with the bishop before our bishop, not the present bishop that he was telling all these stories on, about having intercourse with some... I don't know all this stuff. Mine, I didn't even tell our bishop about that because I thought that sounded so ludicrous that it wasn't even worth telling the bishop about this intercourse with a minor. I just said he's bad mouth and you too. But he had fallen out with the bishop prior, which his name was Wilson, and split a church. But he said at that time he was married to a woman by the name of Ridgeway. It was a pretty good woman, but she had to leave him because he was rather devious and reactionary, but highly articulate, he said. But he said he was a druggist. I don't know what happened that the guy is now a clerk. If he was once a druggist, the bishop said he could have been wrong. He might have been a dentist, but he was in some field of medicine. So if he surfaces again, I guess we'll have to do some detective work on his own credentials, because he probably, if you have left the field of dentistry or pharmacy, it's probably because of some irregularity.
You know what, Gus? When he lost his nerve, you know, and then getting older and older, and he turned around and asked me, I said, what the? I'm wondering, I didn't think of this till after. I was going to say, well, what did you get out of this? You know, I mean, did you do things like this? What possessed you to do something like this?
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked him, I said, how long have you been doing this? 6 years. And,
that's an amazing thing. If we'd had very much to find, he sure would have found it in 6 years. And that's the first I'd heard of him. I've never heard his name before. He did mention something that I think alluded to some very, very, one fascist plant that tore out our tapes and all the tapes of our guest speakers, tore them out, and I had a sort of a psychic feeling, you might call a sixth sense feeling. We had them, so we went and demanded them and got them back. But she had said at the time, she told some other people that she had planned it for a year. And I don't know, maybe just I'm jumping to conclusions, but there was something in the notes of Dennis about somebody he knew that had planned something for a year.
Uh-huh.
So I wonder if he's not done. I mean, she's a John Bircher. She had a long membership in the John Bircher side and been a provocateur. The thing that really disturbs is that he was trying, would not take you to this treasure agent, but insisted on taking Dennis.
You know, why? Because I may not be able to go. He said, well, not let legal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked and I said, yeah, I'll go maybe. And then he kicked it down. He said, no, better not then. When it came around.
Mm-hmm.
And then we showed him a picture that was taken.
I said, didn't even recognize my own picture?
No, he didn't recognize you or what's the big black guy that...
McElveen.
Yeah, Mac.
And I mean, you know, those people have been with me, of course I've been with me ever since the beginning, and McElveen's been with me ever since I can remember.
Well, he was saying that he was Mac committed about 11 murders or something like that.
Oh, come now, for God's sake. Never been arrested.
And
Not to my knowledge. No, yes, he was. He was arrested one time in the resistance down in the race riots of Sam City, the Los Angeles days, the Watts era. Uh-huh. But it was, I think, a charge. He arrested and dropped. It was nothing more than that.
But after telling him that this man has been arrested, that he's been, he knew of one murder he committed.
He's a fool. He's a fool. Complete asinine fool.
But he didn't recognize him when I showed him the picture.
He didn't have too much.
And I didn't recognize you, and then, we kind of...
Well, this is really frightening that a man will go to that extent. It really is a frightening thing. Then someone called, allegedly the wife of this man, I don't know what I told you, I told her, I think it was your wife I mentioned it to. How's that baby, by the way?
Get along beautiful.
Oh, that's good. Well, I mentioned that Paul trying to say that you had set him up to do it. And it really is a real clever attempt of derision. Divisiveness that it's a new twist, I must say. Our attorneys, all we could gather was that he must have tried to get Dennis there to put a heavy on him, threaten him or some way, or try to intimidate him. Maybe he thought Dennis wouldn't know his legal position, because when we sent all those letters to the governor's one decides that, and the governor gave us assurance by letter that there would be no extradition. We must have put, I don't know how many thousands of letters we put in on Dennis's behalf, and I'm sure many others did the same. So the Treasury Department had an abominable thing to do with his extradition. As far as I can see, the governor has to decide that matter. But I think the man may, in his foolishness, thought that he could pressure Dennis, because of being in a kind of untenable position, into doing, saying some lie against us. I don't know. I'm just guessing. So I said to Dennis just to say, if you called again, fly your kite. We're together, Yvonne Gold and Cecil Williams and all the different coalitions that we have together, and that might deter him and frighten him off. But I guess he hasn't called back anymore.
Oh, I was tempted to call that Indian guy, ask him about his buddy, and find out where he is or skip the country or what. In fact, maybe that's what I'll do.
My own opinion off the record is that when you've got a devious mess like that, the best is to leave it alone. And the more you stir shit, the old saying goes, the more it stinks. But another fact is that we've had an experience where you talk to people, they take tapes. We had not, it didn't happen to me, one of our ministers who was an activist. They taped him off with a telephone and pitched words together, and then took that telephone, make a call, and threatened people with that voice. Uh-huh. Boy, that really was something. People can do anything with a few words, They twist a word, put a word out of context, and take and splice tapes. So unless, I don't know if you feel some real strong sense to do that, but my own opinion is I'd leave the fool alone. He sounds like he's some sort of a maniac, but he has to leave the country. There's no problem about that due to somebody said his case was blown. Well, now, who blew his case? I don't even know the man. I didn't blow his case, and I sure as hell, I do have a notion to inquire at the Treasury Department to find out what the hell is going on, just a simple letter of inquiry. But his case wasn't opened up by, unless he's delusional, he's probably.
This is what got me when Dennis told me that he'd made the remark that his case is now blown.
Mm-hmm, that's what Dennis told me.
And he was going to have to leave or something.
Well, I don't know. You sure don't have to leave from us. I will tell the world and all those that listen on telephones, if they ever want to attack us, we would defend our lives. Because I'm a pacifist. I don't believe in violence. But even Gandhi said, if you got a mad dog running through trying to kill your people, you must defend yourself against that mad dog. I think that's just a matter of understanding. Anybody understands that simple equation.
Yeah.
But people have tried to infiltrate us, they've tried to lie on us, and same with Cecil Yvonne. None of us have ever done a thing to anybody. And Mac, he's a big man, but as far as my knowledge, he never lifted his finger against anyone. The boy, he sure got a vivid imagination. That man is too much.
Well, I was good to figure, I thought, adults come up to these complete strangers and he doesn't know, and come off for 2 hours or 3 hours.
What really amazes me, Lee, that really is astounding about it, he is not completely off his rocker. Why would he go to a man that I have bail the wife out of jail and probably played a strong impetus in getting him freed from extradition. And if he knew anything, I mean, if he knew anything, and lost my job defending your right to express yourself. I mean, it don't make any sense to go to France. Well, if you had an alienation or enemy, then that's something else. If you'd been our enemies, but I don't make an ounce of sense to go to friends and throw that kind of stuff off on.
You know, his friend, the Hindi guy, the one who initially called the first time, and told us, you know, he's going to stay with building there in the building. What's wrong with that?
The Indian said that to you?
Huh?
The American Navy said that?
Yeah, the Indian guy. So I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, he said, Jim is, Jones is being investigated and he might be in trouble and he could get in trouble. And I said, well, what are you talking about? He said, well, it's too much to tell. He said, I'll have to get my friend to tell you. And I said, friend, what are you talking about? So Ronnie, I told him, I said, look, I said, Jim's a very good kid. And I said, he's done an awful lot for us. So I said, yeah, he got that much. He didn't get about it. I said, we're taking Andy Robb and that damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, he said, but it keeps you going. So I just can't forget it. So I hung up. Well, he called the next day and talked to my wife.
Well, that's persistence. That is real persistence.
Then he called another night and wanted to talk, you know. I thought he'd talk for a while. I said, no, he wanted me to call his friend. And I said, give me something. I said, no, I don't want to talk to him. And then finally his friend called here. And he even called me when I was able to call him.
Well, that's why I think we were trying to, some way, although we're not perceiving what way, likely not you, but Dennis and I was being set up because he wouldn't take you to whoever in the hell he wanted to go to.
This is what, you know, Dennis, when we were talking later, he said, I think he's kind of put a book
up. Yeah, me and
yeah.
Him, but obviously not you,
no,
or he would have bid at the opportunity of taking. Of course, you've not got anything. You've not got any sword of Damocles hanging over your head, a frame up to that sword. And so I really think some sinister bastard was at work. And I don't know about the departments. I suppose we've been investigated by every department in the world because that's what's to be expected. I know Cecil's going through a hell of an investigation. I don't think it's closed up this day. They've been running him through one for 2 or 3 years based on some lies. He's supposed to have taken $250,000. The stories are quite similar. Cecil was supposed to run off with $250,000. They're taking a $250,000 bribe and money in a foreign bank or some goddamn thing. And then you said, he said, yeah, I had property. In, no, it ended up I had money in the bank, wasn't it?
Oh, you had money in a Swiss account.
Yeah, that's lovely. Boy, I sure wish I did. God, I'd be glad if I did have. But when you see the economy going, the last night's news said the drought swinging from Dakota to Oklahoma to all the way to Honolulu. But they said one gigantic dust bowl was coming. 16 cities in Oklahoma going to be completely dry of all water within less than 2 weeks. And then you see the racism.
This is in Oklahoma.
Yeah, 16 cities will be totally dry of water within less than 2 weeks.
Good.
And, you know, that's the parallel of the crash, 29, and the economy's mess. One of our people had to buy a Bedford truck for our agricultural project. They went to Scotland to get it because the pound's gone to hell, just like Canadian pound's gone to hell. But in Scotland, not only did they find people out of work, but they saw them walking the streets, scurrying in garbage cans, hunting for food. And in the rural industrial belt of Germany, 4 million unemployed. Now, those are all, as you know, the patterns of just prior to the crash that we had in 29.
Right.
And with the racism, we hear on the CBs when we go by, Indians, there's niggers, and usually niggers and redskins. There they are, about to, you'd be amazed if you just turn the channels on our CBs. We just listen. There are niggers and redskins. I'll run them out and kill them. I ought to lynch us a few niggers. And really, the racism is rampant throughout the rural areas of America. Not to mention the stupid foreign policies of Carter talking so much about human rights in Russia and not coming to terms and dealing, cleaning up our own backyard, which really could trigger, you know, a major thermonuclear confrontation. If you start meddling with the domestic affairs, I don't know, I'm sure the Soviets don't treat all their citizens right, but we sure as hell aren't treating all of ours right. And when we come off so cheek and tongue as to be the good guys and the Russians the bad guys, and now I know the president said yesterday that you are threatening detente itself. The negatives are on the horizon so vividly. And when economics begin to falter, the pecking order always begins. We were black, Indian, and Asiatic always get it. And as I tell our black friends, if there should be a confrontation in Africa, which is will and soon certainly will come, it's not Zaire, it'll be Zimbabwe, Rhodesia and Union, South Africa. Blacks have never known the experience of the Japanese yet of being an economic power that's emerged.